Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to Word Encounter. Please, if you are following the live stream and you're having issues with streaming the video, you can stream via audio. The network we are using is not the normal network we use because we are not streaming from our normal venue. There is movement restriction because there are local government elections in Ogun and Lagos State. And that's why we are doing this from my living room. But we thought it wise not to put an end to the streaming or stop the streaming just because we have network issues. Just because there's movement restriction. We don't want to deprive our online audience from being blessed. So you can invite your friends to join the streaming. There is a reward for actually spreading the word of God. And as you invite them to join the streaming and they are blessed, it will be accounted to you in heaven for being instrumental to the blessing of people. The Bible says that Jesus was speaking in Matthew. He says those that will be great, that will be called great in the kingdom of God, are those that listen to his commandments, the list of his commandments, and teach others or influence others to do them. So one of the ways that you can increase your ranking in the kingdom of God is by being an influencer for righteousness. Since somebody became close to you, have they become more like Christ? That's a measure of determining whether you are a kingdom agent. The more you influence people for the kingdom of God, the more you are esteemed in heaven. You know, Jesus Christ said that when one soul repents, there's great rejoicing in heaven. And Jesus Christ actually talked about when one sinner repents and when one lost sheep is found. So there are sinners, that is those, there are people who have never been born again. And when we go for evangelism and preach to them and we bring them into the kingdom of God, because of that, there's great rejoicing just for one soul that repents, that accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. But again, there is also great rejoicing when a backsliding soul comes back to God. You know, it's possible to have accepted Jesus Christ, but to be in a state of spiritual slumber. And when we are instruments through which Jesus restores such people back to himself, the Bible says that there is great rejoicing in heaven. Great rejoicing. So you see that when one of the ways, and if on account of you, they are always rejoicing in heaven. On account of you, they are always rejoicing in heaven. It shows that you are great in the kingdom in heaven. You'll be of high esteem in heaven. You know, an angel appeared to Daniel and told him that he came to give him skill. He said, "O thou that is highly esteemed in heaven." You see, there are some people that when they are praying, God will be sending angels. Heaven will be responding because they have high esteem. And the way to increase your esteem in heaven is by being an instrument for righteousness. Be somebody through which people are influenced for the kingdom of God. Because as people are repenting and there's rejoicing, they're always rejoicing in heaven because of you. All the angels will know you. Hallelujah. But that's not even our topic today. So it is God's will for us to be great in the kingdom. It's God's will. And we also know that Jesus Christ said that there are those that are least in the kingdom. You know, being great in the kingdom and being least in the kingdom is something that we will see fully when the Lord returns. You know, when the Lord returns and comes to take over the government of this world, because Jesus will come physically. It's called the second coming of the Lord. You know, his first coming was physical. His second coming is also going to be physical. And when the Lord returns, he will establish his kingdom over the whole earth. That is, the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord. And he shall reign on the earth. the headquarters of his kingdom. You know, every kingdom, every kingdom that rules physically has a headquarters. It's just, what was the headquarters of the Nigerian government? Abuja. The headquarters of the British government is in England. The palace is Buckingham Palace in England. Whereas there is England, there is Scotland, there is Wales, but the headquarters is in England. The headquarters of the American government, the American kingdom, you know, let's use that expression, is in Washington, D.C. The Washington, D.C. Of the kingdom of God will be Jerusalem. That's the city that the Lord has chosen. He has chosen it long. This is where I will rule when I come. You know, one reason why the Jews did not believe in Jesus when he first came was because they were only aware of the things that were happening in his second coming. So when he was not doing those things that they expected the Messiah to do, they found it difficult to believe in him. Because they didn't study the scriptures enough to realize that the Messiah will first come and be bruised. Because Isaiah, one of their prophets, prophesied it. He was bruised for our transgression. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgression. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. It says we see him as smitten of the Lord. So, but they didn't know that Jesus will first come, and this time he will come and be the sacrifice for our sins. So they didn't believe in him. Because their own understanding of Messiah is that he's somebody that will come and take over the world, rule over the government of this world, make Israel the capital of the world. So they were really expecting the Messiah. And that's why I see they kept asking, are you the Messiah? Are you the one to come? But one thing they didn't realize is that Jesus Christ wasn't going to come quietly. The Messiah, when he's coming to come and take over, he won't come quietly. He will come loudly. The Bible says with the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Everybody that is on the earth, then we know that Jesus is coming. We know. Now, when the Lord returns, that is when you realize the people that are great in the kingdom of God. Because just like you know that in every government, like even in the Nigerian government, there are people that are great. Like in the Nigerian government now, we have people like Lai Mohammed, people like Osibanjo. We have all of these people that are in the government. They are great in the government. They are ministers. They are, you understand, they are permanent secretaries, ministers, the director generals of parastatals, and all of that. Those ones are actually great in Buhari's kingdom. In Buhari's government. You can't really use a kingdom. Because the reason is because Buhari's government is not as great, it's not as big as a kingdom. A kingdom does not just contain, you know, the government of Nigeria is divided into three arms. There's the executive, there's the judiciary, and then there's the legislative. So there are many things that the president may want to do that he will not want to, he cannot do if the legislators don't agree. But in a kingdom, it's not like that. Everything is in that king. The king is the one that is the legislator. He's the one that is the executive. He's the one that is the judiciary. He's the one that is the judge. And that's the way the kingdom of our Lord will be. And so in that kingdom, there will be people who will be great. And there will be people who will be least. May we not be least in that kingdom in Jesus' name. When you realize that you could have been great and then you are least, it can be very painful. So Jesus Christ talked about those that will be great and those that will be least in the kingdom. And one of the reasons why we're having this study is because we want to maximize our potential in God. So when the Lord returns and he begins to give apportioned territories, Lagos will be ruled by one of us. Ota will be ruled by one of us. Washington DC will be ruled by one of us. New York will be ruled. It's Jesus that will rule over every square inch of this earth during the millennial reign. It's called the 1,000 year reign of the Lord Jesus. He will come and establish his government on this earth. Now, these things look too good to be true. And you see, when God gives us these promises, he gives us proof that the promises will come to pass. And what is the proof? The Holy Spirit. Like, how is the Holy Spirit the proof? You see, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that will cast out devils. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we heal the sick. And if you are born again, the Bible says that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as the earnest of the inheritance. So God has given us proof for us to know that these things that he has promised, they will come to pass. Hallelujah. Now, if a person is great in the kingdom of God, it's not till Jesus comes that he will know. If you have authority with God, even while you are alive, you will know. It's just like now, you know, in the church, in the kingdom of God, we know that there are people that are, that have more authority than others. There are some people that can come near here and they will pray a prayer. And the way things will just transform, you will know that they are great in the kingdom of God. And as we walk with God and grow, just like every government, you know, I work for the government, I'm a civil servant. When I entered, I started at a level. As I keep working, I keep getting promoted. To a point, if I stay long enough and I get promoted enough and we get to the point where I become a permanent secretary, that's the highest you can become as a civil servant. It's a very, very, it's like, it's equivalent to a general in the military. Except that in Nigeria, they have more money than generals. For strange reasons. I'm talking about federal permanent secretaries. So, you keep growing. That's how every kingdom is. So there is room for growth. It's the way you are, when you are, you know, if I am now, I don't go to work. The any assignment give me the office, I don't do. Anything I'm supposed to do, I don't do. I won't get promoted. I won't increase. I won't grow. In the kingdom of God, it is like that too. That the Adeboye did not get to where he is in one day. He started like you. The reason why he got to where he is because of faithfulness. The reason why you will get to any height in the kingdom of God is because of faithfulness. So there is room for growth. As God gives you tasks, assignments, and you are faithful in the little. Look at what we are doing now. If I'm faithful in this, I will see that God will... I didn't start ministry at this level. You know, right now, I'm very sure that this sermon that I'm preaching, except I don't want people to hear it. By the time we share this, we are done with sharing this sermon on Stream Globe. If few people see the sermon, there will be 2,000 that will listen to the sermon. If few people get to, that will be worst case scenario. The live streaming is new. Most people in Stream Globe are not even used to all the, you know, you are on Stream Globe. You know the way Stream Globe runs. If few people see it, we didn't start that way. But as we're even faithful in this one, this one which is small, because the biggest you can get in this world, when you compare it to the kingdom of God, is small. Jesus Christ said, if you are faithful in little, much will be given to you. But even in the little, there are little. As you are faithful in the little, that's how you keep growing. You keep growing in the kingdom of God. Live streaming work well in Jesus' name. Thing keeps breaking. The video stream. So as we are faithful in the little, more will be given to you. As you are faithful in the little, as you are faithful in the more that's given to you, then you are promoted, you are qualified for promotion. Then you are qualified for more promotion. So now God says evangelize, pray. Pray for 1 hour every day. If you are faithful in that, the Holy Spirit can minister to you and say, I want you to be praying for 1 hour every day. If you are faithful in that, you just discover that the power of God in your life will be increased. And then you have grace to do more things. So there is room for growth in the kingdom of God. And the key is faithfulness. The key of growth in the kingdom of God is faithfulness. So therefore, it is very important for us to identify the things that God wants us to do so that we will grow. Now, I've not forgotten our study last week. We're looking at the organogram of God's creation. And in that, we saw that there were thrones. There are thrones. Then there is dominion. Then we saw that there is principality. And then there is power. Let's take the organogram again. There is throne. Then there is dominion. And then there is principality. And then there is powers. There's a scripture I'm looking for. Unlock your phone. I need the internet. I want to run a search. Scripture I want to find. Hallelujah. You know, one of the, just in case you are following, one of the most effective ways of finding scriptures is use Google. Google is more effective in finding scriptures than your Bible app. I guess you didn't know that. It's more effective in finding scriptures than your Bible app. The problem with your Bible app is that let's say there's a spelling mistake, your Bible app may not find it. But Google will find it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just want to find the scripture. Because while I was praying for this, Holy Spirit said that I should go to this scripture. I should read this scripture. And I didn't, because I was sending messages, I didn't remember to write it down. So I want to search it out so that we can. Be cleansed by a better sacrifice. You see, let me explain something to you about teaching. If you're going to teach fruitfully, you have to always follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. You have to always follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. I have what I want to teach. What I want to teach is not as important as what the Holy Spirit wants to say. So as soon as I detect what the Holy Spirit wants to say, I will suspend what I want to teach and begin to say what he wants to say. So let's open to Hebrews chapter 9 verse 23. Hebrews 9 verse 23. You know, we were on a topic and we'll link it with this topic. Hebrews 9:23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Now, in order for you to understand this Bible verse, it would have been better to read it from a simpler translation. But I'll start from verse 20. Okay, let's take from verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. You can see this in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 4, and Exodus chapter 25, verse 5. He sprinkled them, saying, this is the blood of the testament, which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. What was Moses doing here? In the Old Testament, you know, the Old Testament is a shadow of the reality. And you know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no cleansing. So in order for him to sanctify the things that were in the temple, in the tabernacle, because when he built, they arranged the tabernacle, they needed to sanctify all the things. There were so many items in the tabernacle. There was a basin where they were washing their hands. There was the altars. There was the Ark of the Covenant. There were all kinds of things made of gold and all of that. Now, in order for those things to be purified, because the sin that Adam committed and that we commit did not just pollute us, our souls, it polluted everything in this world. The reason is because, you know, if you put something at the top, you know, I pour water on your head, and I pour enough water on your head, the water will eventually get to your leg. Why? Because your head is up and it's flowing down. When God created this physical universe and this earth, he put Adam at the top of it. How do we know? He said, have dominion. So when Adam sinned and corruption and sin entered into the world, it affected everything. Don't forget that. So when it was time to build the temple, time to build the tabernacle, that was supposed to be a mirror of the temple in heaven, Because God told Moses that he will show him. Because there is a temple in heaven. In fact, God's throne is in the temple in heaven. Are you understanding? There is no dichotomy between the priestly and the kingly dimension in the kingdom of God. It was only in the old covenant that they had to separate it. Because human beings didn't have the capacity to handle the two. So you see that even Moses was the first king. He was king in Jeshurun. He was the leader of the people of Israel. And then he had to cede the office of priesthood to Aaron. So, because Adam sinned and the things were polluted, when they were now making the tabernacle, they were using things like gold, they used a lot of gold. You know, you need to study the Bible more. The Lord will give you grace in Jesus' name. Now, before those things could be acceptable before God, they had to sprinkle them with the blood. Why were they using blood to purify things? Because you know that even till today, all these spiritual people, all these babalawos, they do a lot of animal sacrifice. Why blood? Let me see if I can explain, because that's not our topic, but I'll just touch on that. You see, the Bible says that the life of flesh is in this blood. The things that the physical thing that connects to spiritual things the most. Because there are spiritual things that control this physical realm. One of the substances that you can use to connect to physical spiritual things the most is blood. The reason is because everybody that has a spirit and that has a soul, his life, the most potent carrier of your physical life is your blood. It's possible to remove your heart from your body and you still be alive. You know, they used to do heart transplant. If they can do heart transplant, a person does not die, then you should know that at the point when they remove the old heart and put the new heart, he was still alive. He didn't die. It's possible to remove your lungs and you still be alive. It's possible to remove your liver and you still be alive. But it's not possible to remove your blood and you still be alive. If they drain your blood, you will die. They drain your blood, you will die. There's also another item that is that important for life. It's water. Water and blood. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about water. Because without water, there will be no blood. But I'm not going to talk about water because it will derail our study. So, he said, moreover, I'm reading verse 21. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. That is all the vessels that they were going to be using to serve in the tabernacle. He sprinkled it with blood in order to sanctify it. Now, so the wages of sin is death. What sin does is that the consequence of sin is death. God told Adam that the day you eat of this tree, which was going to be him committing sin, you will surely die. So when you kill an animal and take the blood of that animal in the old covenant, you are also taking the life of that animal. It is not animal sacrifice if you just drain the blood of the animal and the animal does not die. The animal must die. So it is like a life for a life. So the life of that animal that is inferior to the life of the person that committed the sin will be like a kind of remission substitute. But it can only work temporarily. That's why they had to be doing those sacrifices regularly. They were daily sacrifices and they were annual sacrifices. Because the blood of an animal is not sufficient to handle the sin of a human being. But what does that blood talk about? Life. Because the wages of sin is death. So there was a life that will be given so that the person can have small air time with God. So they were obtaining right standing, temporary right standing with God through all of those things. But really, the reason why those things were even working, the blood of those animals were working, was because it was pointing to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. And by doing those things, they were proving that if Jesus Christ comes in their day, they would believe in him. But that is not even the point that we are making. Verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. So when Jesus Christ died and became our high priest and resurrected, he took his blood as our high priest into the temple in heaven. You'll be wondering, basically what he did was that he took his life, he took the token of his life in the spirit realm, the token of his life in the physical realm, his blood. Because when you are holding blood in this physical realm, there is something that it means in the spirit realm that you are holding. You are seeing physical blood, but in the spirit realm, you are holding life. You are holding the life of that animal. So what Jesus Christ did in the temple in heaven was that he took the sacrifice of his life. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hand, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. So the one that Moses did on the earth was a figure of the real temple. I hope you understand. Try to follow. He went into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I sincerely wish I wasn't reading this in King James. Do you have another translation? Which translation? Let's read it in that translation. Yes. We'll start from verse 21. You know, if you will notice that I skipped verse 21 and verse 22 when I was reading King James. You noticed? So verse 21. All right. It says, in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was therefore necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with this sacrifice. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. For Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made with human hands. So what happened? The copies were purified by the animals, by the sacrifices of animals. But what Jesus Christ did was that the things in heaven that needed to be purified too, he purified them with his blood. The blood of animals could not purify the things that were in the temple in heaven. What is the point I'm making? Man is not just an earthly being. It looks as if man was just created for the earth. But man is not just an earthly being. Man was also created for heaven. In fact, the way God made man in such a way that man will be operating from the reality of God on the earth. That his reality, just like Jesus Christ came to the world and he said, even the Son of Man who is in heaven, because his reality, he was on the earth, but his reality was in heaven. What, even now that we are believers, the Bible says that we are seated with Christ. We are in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. The point I'm making is that the sin that man committed on the earth did not just affect the earth, it also affected heaven. It affected the things in heaven. And it was necessary that Jesus Christ purified them with his blood. And so the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made was applied in the temple in heaven. And it was done once and for all. The reason is because God did not just make us as earthbound creatures. When we say heaven is our home, or our citizenship is in heaven. It's not a joke. Philippians chapter 3 verse 19, our citizenship is in heaven. It's true. Even though God has assigned us to the earth and we don't know how long it will be, but our citizenship is in heaven. May God help us in Jesus' name. May God give us understanding. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because you need to realize that if it is true that your citizenship is in heaven, then you cannot afford, now that you are born again, that you have been realigned into the economy of God, you cannot afford to be living an earthbound life. The Bible says, set your heart on things that are above, where Christ is. You see, because, let's read Philippians chapter 3. GM, who is that? Philippians chapter 3. I'll be reading from verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. The problem with these people that Apostle Paul was warning the saints in Philippi about was that their God was their belly. They minded earthly things. They were supposed to be creatures of heaven, but their mind was on the earth. Hallelujah. It says, for our conversation, my translation will say, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He said he has warned them about some people. They were preachers. If you read it from verse 18, he said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. He said, but our citizenship is in heaven. There's another scripture that talks about set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. That's Colossians. The point I'm making is that I just showed you now that when man sinned, because for many years as a Christian, I used to say that, yeah, man, God created the earth for man. Our place is the earth. It's not true. Do you understand? It's true that our place is the earth, but it's not true that we are earthbound. Our citizenship is where? It is in heaven. It's not on the earth. Just so you will know, when man was committing sin in the earth, it was affecting the things in heaven, because his reality, you know, you're a programmer. You know, if you see every website, there's a back end and there's a front end. I hope you know that the back end of any man, of man, is in heaven. It's in the spirit realm. And there are layers in heaven. There are heights in heaven. Are you understanding? You see, one thing. There are heights in heaven. There's what the Bible calls the heavens of the heavens, or the third heaven, where the temple of God is. Then there is the second heaven. It's lower than the heavens of the heavens. You see, that's the way God just orders his kingdom. Even in the temple, you see that there's the outer court, or there's a holy place, then there's a holy of holies. You understand? Now, you will discover that even the angels operate, the Bible talks about principalities and powers in heavenly places. That's not the heavens of the heavens, the temple of God. But the point I'm even making is that for man, created in the image and likeness of God, our back end is in heaven. I'm talking about those that have been regenerated. Because if you have eternal life, you now have a life that is hid in Christ in God. Where is Jesus? In heaven. When Adam sinned, before Adam sinned, Adam was like that. He was in God. He was So when he sinned, it was not just things on the earth that was affected. Things in heaven were also affected. And so from that point, there was a need for a sacrifice that was sufficient to handle the pollution, not just on the earth, but the pollution in heaven. And so Jesus Christ came to be that sacrifice. And he sanctified not just the things, but he sanctified the things in heaven. So our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven. Set your affection on things above. Now, how does this relate to our everyday life? Because you see, it is possible for you to see a person. Most people in this world, when you talk about what is their hope, it is centered around this world. And they say, what else should our hope be? You see, one of the things that happens to you when you are born again is that the Bible says that you can see the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? Right now. It's ruling from heaven. So, if you have eternal life, you should also have eternal vision and an eternal outlook and an eternal perspective to life. For example, Jesus Christ said that, don't store your treasure on the earth where moth and rot doth destroy. Say, store your treasure in heaven. What does that mean? He said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. The way you will know where your treasure is where the affection of your heart is. It's possible for you to have a lot of money in the bank and that's not your treasure. Because that's not where your heart is. What are you living for? That is where you are storing your treasure. Are you living for life on it? Or you are living for the eternal life that you have? Because you can actually invest into into eternity. And you can invest into time. And it is wise to invest into eternity. Jesus Christ gave us examples. He said, for example, say, sell your things, give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Because anything that you do for the sake of the kingdom of God, are you understanding? Anything you do for the sake of the kingdom of God is an investment into eternity. For example, if your affection is on things above, it means that you will live for that, for the kingdom of God. What will run your life is the kingdom agenda. We are here not for ourselves. We are here for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Everything we do should be centered around the advancement of the kingdom of God. If we are not living like that and we are born again and we are believers, we are living in error. He says, their end is destruction. He says, their God is their belly. They mind earthly things. Everything we do as believers should be centered around the advancement of God's kingdom. You know, you can live in such a way that everything you are doing is centered around the advancement of your life. But you see, what God said is that if you live for the kingdom of God, he will take care of you. The things that, you know, people are, hey, I have to plan for the future. I have to plan for retirement. I have to keep money for my children. You know the way life, as long as they have enough for now, they begin to gather enough for tomorrow. By the time they gather enough for a future, they begin to say, they start gathering for their children. That's the way an average person lives. But you are not an average person. You have received eternal life. And because you have received eternal life, you should now be living for the kingdom of God. So, when everybody is hustling, you see people hustling, doing all kinds of things, planning, strategizing, just for their self. And their God is their belly. Their belly talks about their appetites, food, and every other thing that can be attached to appetite, including sex. But you see, for a kingdom man, our God is the Lord God. We don't live for our appetite. We don't live for pleasure. We live for purpose. We live for the kingdom of God. That's the way the kingdom man lives. When you are making a decision in life, one of the first questions you ask is that, how can this decision I'm making help me to be more effective in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom agenda? How can this help me to be more effective in winning souls? Remember I told you the way you are promoted in the kingdom of God is by your influence over people for righteousness. See, if you are bearing fruit, you know, Jesus Christ said that in this is the Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit. He said, I ordained you. He said, you didn't ordain me. He said, I am the vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. He said, any branch in me that brings forth fruit. He said, my Father take it away. Now, he said that you didn't ordain me. You didn't call me. I ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should abide. And that whatever you ask the Father, it shall be done. Do you realize that it is those of us that are fruitful that we can ask God for things and God we know that God will surely answer our prayer. And if you are living for the kingdom of God, because the way to set your affection on the kingdom of God is that every decision you make must be centered around the advancement of the kingdom of God. See, we talk about love, 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 love. We should love one another. We should love our neighbors as ourselves. What is the biggest expression of love? Number one, let me talk about the smaller expressions of love. If your neighbor is hungry, you feed him. You want the good of your neighbor. If you love somebody, you want their progress. You want their progress. I cannot hear that somebody that I truly love, you know, made progress and I'm sad. It shows that there's no love in my heart. And I'm envious. It shows that there's no. I know people, one of the ways I know people that I truly love is that their progress gives me joy. Because I also see their progress as my progress. But you see, that's one of the manifestations of love. But you know the biggest manifestation of love? It is that if you are a kingdom person, you realize that we are eternal beings. In the next 1 million years, Femi, you will still be alive. This body may have been gone, but this body is just like a cloth that your soul and your spirit is wearing. But the question is, where will you be then? 1 million years is long. In the next 100 years, this body would have been gone. But your soul will still be alive. Some people, if Jesus Christ has come by that time, some people will be ruling and reigning with Jesus over the earth by then. You understand? And if Jesus has not yet come in the next 100 years, they will be with Jesus in glory, in paradise. But do you know that at that same time, most people are in hell burning? He says that, for God so loved the world, how did God express his own love? That whosoever believes in him should not what? Perish. His love was manifested in the fact that he did not want people to perish. If we are God's children and we are created after the image of God and we must behave like God, our love must also be expressed in that we don't want people to perish. The best thing you can do for any human being is to bring them to the knowledge of God so that they will not perish. It is more valuable than giving them food. Because you can give them food and they will still die and go to hell. Are you understanding this point? So, when our affection is set on things above, you just discover that you will now begin to live for the kingdom. What will make you tick? What will make you do the things you do, buy the things you buy? One of the first questions you must ask yourself as a kingdom agent is, how is this thing I am about to do going to advance the agenda of God's kingdom? How? That's a very important question to ask. How is it affecting the agenda? How is it, this thing I want to do, this thing I want to buy, how is it affecting the agenda of God's kingdom?